Will you turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 5, reading verses 18 through 20. Ephesians chapter 5, reading verses 18 through 20. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you this morning in the words of the 20th verse, giving thanks always. Father, we believe that your Spirit is present in this service and that you have much to say to us. We pray that thy Holy Spirit would speak, that the miracle of preaching would take place, that our hearts will all be strengthened and renewed by your power. In these moments together, we pray. Amen. Several years ago, I was flying from Chicago to the West Coast. I was very, very tired. In fact, just bone weary after a choir concert and a week of exams at college. I used to do a little singing, Mr. Weathers, back in my time. He'll never ask me to sing here, but it's all right. I try not to hold it against him. Used to do a little singing. I finally quit because my wife asked me to stop, and I always do what she tells me. But that night, I settled into a window seat and stared blankly into the dark night. As the plane took off, I saw the lights of Chicago disappear into the distance. Really, I do not remember seeing anything else until the lights of the airport at our destination city. I had traveled thousands thousands of miles. I'd passed over some of the most beautiful country in the world. Mountains that took thousands of years to form. Trees that have stood for centuries, majestic and silent and strong. Unparalleled beauty. And I missed it all. Why? Because I made a choice. I chose to journey in darkness. Could it be that someone here today is missing most of life's beauty because you have chosen to journey in darkness? I fear it could be true. I don't know, but I fear it could be true. And as a result, you are missing a million scenes of beauty and joy every single day of your life. And I really think the Thanksgiving season ought to be a time when all of us are brightened on our journey and made again to see the wonder of it all. The man called Saul of Tarsus journeyed in darkness, a very busy man. The teacher and leader called Nicodemus journeyed in darkness, a very busy man. But in the midst of their busyness, they had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and he brought both of them into the light of his truth, and their days were forever brightened, and Nicodemus became an enlightened man, a new man, and Saul became Paul, an apostle of the light of the world. Old Paul, a man filled with scorn and hatred, became a man filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with concern, filled with love. He was still a busy man like we are, but because of Jesus Christ and his light, his eyes gained a new perspective, and consequently he was seeing the world through the eyes of a Christian. And as a result, a distinct change occurred in the man. For Paul became a thankful person. And you'll note that a prime characteristic of the born-again Christian is the fact that he is a thankful person. And if he isn't, there's something wrong. Listen now to Paul's new voice. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. And on he goes, a truly thankful Christian. And if you'll read his writings, you'll be challenged by his continuing spirit of thanksgiving. It's really a keynote of his epistle. You say, well, how does all that relate to us? I'll tell you. Paul, under the inspiration of God, commanded us all to be filled with the Spirit, but in the same breath, he also said, be filled with the Spirit. He went on to say, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
But what we're really talking about this morning isn't a result of what is happening to us or what isn't happening to us. What we're talking about is the basic equipment for that sanctified believer. When you have the Holy Spirit, then you are to be a joy-filled, thankful person. And I'll tell you this morning, if you have Christ, that ought to be adequate reason for being a happy, thankful person. That's what Paul is so happy and thankful for. Read his life. He didn't have very much in the way that we would consider this world's activities to be happy. I don't think he was so just tickled pink for the shipwrecks that he had. I don't think he was just thrilled to death when he got beat up and when he got thrown in jail. He was thankful, not for these things. He was thankful for Jesus Christ, who sustained him in all of these events in life. Paul had peace and joy and was able to help others through the conflicts and disasters that happened in his own life. Now remember, this is the Word of God. It's not what we call a take-it-or-leave-it situation. This is the Bible speaking. It's our authority for life. And we must accept this Word, for it came from Christ's apostle. Whether we know it or not, we must accept the messenger sent in Christ's name. I have heard people say, well, Paul, what do we know whether he was really inspired when he wrote these things or not? He's just a man. One has written to that point. Accepting the authority of Christ's messenger may require great humility. But after all, we must remember that in the last resort, we are submitting not to Paul or any other human authority, but to Christ himself. If Jesus was prepared to accept the yoke of the prophets, who are we to refuse the apostles whom Christ chose? For the disciple is not greater than his master, and that master said, he who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me. Consequently, we cannot lightly treat God's message or his messenger, for they bear his own word. Let us then obey this portion of God's word, which calls us to be a happy and thankful people. Let's be continually thankful, and may we begin to express our thanksgiving with regularity. Too many of us make our life's journeys in darkness, and we miss the beauty of the way. Oh, we who have seen the light must not be found guilty of closing our eyes. Giving thanks always for all things. Now, that's not only good religion. That's good therapy. Thankful people feel better. They even look better. It doesn't really occur to them, for very long at least, to harbor negative, power-diminishing thoughts. It's washed away by the cleansing of praise and thanksgiving. You can't be a thankful person and at the same time be a negative and critical person. But really now, don't we all have great reason for thanksgiving? You don't have to have any money to be thankful for Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and coming King. What more do we need than Him? But there is more. We live in the greatest country the world has ever known. And I think it's very appropriate that our country began this tradition of Thanksgiving Day. Oh, I know that there are dark sides in our country. There is problem. But cheer up, there's probably things worse that we don't know about. So there's no sense getting upset about the things we do know about. If we all knew everything there was to know, we'd probably just faint with fear. But I'll tell you this. I'd rather live in America with all her problems than any other place in the world. I heard a young Norwegian graduate student speaking one day. After he finished, he was asked some questions, and one of them was, "How does your country feel about America?" He said, "Well, many lies are told about America." He said, "I have a much different picture now that I'm here." He went on to say, "If you want to really know how I feel about America, I'll tell you this. I hope I can stay here and that I don't have to go back, for I believe it's the greatest country in the world," and I agree. Problems, yes. Change needed, yes. We're going to be speaking more to these issues tonight. But I'm still thankful for America, warts and all, if you please. All right, we've established two facts. Number one, giving thanks is biblical. It wasn't just the good idea of a few well-intentioned pilgrims some years ago. It's biblical. And the second thing we've established is the fact that everybody has cause for thanksgiving, regardless of how much they do have or do not have. We all have access to Jesus Christ, the unspeakable gift. But now I want us to explore a third phase of thanksgiving. For thanksgiving means more than words. There are at least two sides to thanksgiving. Thanks and giving. Or if you'd rather say it this way, the saying side of thanksgiving and the doing side. Both are important. We not only have to say we are grateful, but we have to do deeds that express our gratitude. When my father was living, I didn't get enough saying done. Someone has suggested, and I think it's a good suggestion, that everyone ought to have a thank you room in their house. A place where periodically you take your loved ones and others and properly thank them for what they are and maybe for what they have done. You know, it's something you're always going to do. You're always going to tell your wife how much you appreciate her. You're always going to tell your husband how much you appreciate him. You're always going to tell your mother how much you appreciate her, your father how much you appreciate him, your sister, your brother. You're always going to do that. Well, I never adequately thanked my father for so many things. And not that he expected it, but I wish now that I had. I never got a chance to thank him for the way he treated me in childhood. Like the night he stayed all night in the hospital when I had my tonsils out. I was scared stiff. He was there. I guess it never occurred to me to thank him for never missing work. He just never missed. We never wanted for the basics. We never felt cheated. We knew we were important to him. I guess I never adequately thanked him for loving me when I was wrong. I told my wife after he died how I longed to hold him in my arms and tell him all the things I'd left unsaid. To the day he died, when we first greeted each other after being parted for some time, we embraced each other and hugged each other. So wasn't that a little embarrassing to hug a man like that? No, not at all. It's the way we had lived. We're an affectionate family. A lot of kissing and hugging always went on in our family. It's all right. It's all right. In fact, I wish I could still do that. I wish I could hug him now. But I can't. Dads, don't be afraid to hug your boy. Don't be afraid to kiss him. You know, we, in this perverted day in which we live, where we're so hung up that any time a man touches a man that we think of homosexuality. Good night. Ridiculous. I'll tell you this as a counselor. Dads,
You need to express love and affection to your sons in normal, natural ways. You need to hold them. You need to embrace them. Mothers, you need to hold your girls. You need to give them the male and female love and support that they need while they're growing up, so they do not need to seek it in some perverted way when they are mature. Now, if your boy's 21 and you've never hugged him or kissed him, don't go up to him now and hug him and kiss him. He may figure dad's gone. And I know that different personalities express their affection in different ways. I know that. I don't want you to be anything but what you are. But I'm just telling you this. It's a good thing to have touch and contact with the loving members of your family. But that opportunity is gone now. What I'm trying to say is this. If you have something to tell your parents, kids, or anyone else for that matter, somebody who's been good to you, you better tell them while you can. The flowers at the funeral just somehow don't make up for it. But I do know this. Though I may have been short on the saying side of Thanksgiving, maybe even more important was the doing side, the actions that speak louder than words side of the ledger. And I believe my dad knew I was thankful and grateful for him through my actions, the doing side of life. You mean you were so great? No. No. But I did love him. And I did respect him. And I did believe the biblical admonition to honor your parents. And it really mattered to me what he thought. One thing I didn't want to do was to disappoint my mother or my father. Not just when I was a kid growing up and in high school, but when I was in college too. And I hope and pray that you who are here this morning in the sound of my voice will have that same kind of attitude in your heart, that you don't want to do anything to break the hearts of those who have loved you and have raised you and have given you the best of everything they could. Remember the actions that speak louder than words side of the ledger. I always enjoyed being with my dad. I never tried to figure out a way to get away from him. He was never a back number with me. There was no man I'd rather be with. And I hope he knew I was thankful. And I believe he did. Now when it's too late to say it anymore, I'm so glad he knew in other ways. What I'm saying is, let your thanksgiving show. Everyone has something for which to be thankful. You live in the greatest country in the world. Well, you ought to give thanks for that, not just by saying, I'm thankful that I live in the greatest country, but by doing something about it. If you don't like the way this country is being run, if you don't like the way this state is being run, then why don't you pray and see if the Lord would have you enter politics? And to help run it the way you think it ought to be run. We have to do more than talk about it. We have to do something about it. And maybe God is speaking to your heart about going into politics. Everyone here can be thankful for their parents, but there ought to be a saying side and a doing side of your thanksgiving. Everyone ought to be thankful for our homes, husbands, wives, and children, but there too is the saying side and the doing side of giving thanks. I tell my children I love them, but I'm sure it's easier for them to believe when I play ball with them. Yes, and I'm thankful for the church, for what it is and for what it stands for. I'm thankful for a church that cared about me when I didn't care about myself. through those explosive teen years, those years of great misunderstanding, those years of emotional and physical upheaval, the church loved me, understood me, and tried to help me. Some of you this morning may not care enough about yourselves to be a Christian, but the Church of Jesus Christ loves you and reaches out to you anyway. The church reaches out to everybody, to the pagan savage, to the sophisticated atheist. In every part of the world, this church reaches out. We're part of a denomination. We're part of a church with a worldwide ministry. We care about everybody in the world, and we're doing our best to reach them all, for we believe the time is short, and we want to save all that we possibly can while there's yet time, and I'm thankful for a church like that. It's good to be thankful for this kind of church. We need to say we're thankful. But we also need to do something to show we're thankful. Really, that's the way Jesus operated. Jesus spoke his gratitude, and I'm grateful for all the words of Jesus, for every word he ever said. I think it's great to have a red letter edition of the Bible so that when you open the pages of the New Testament, it just leaps out before you. Everything that Jesus said, that's tremendous. But for me, more important is what he did. He healed. He helped, he found, he freed, he searched, he saved, even me. And he was not only willing to prove his love with words, but by doing, even dying. There was the declaration, I have come that you might have life. And then there was the deed, the cross, that proved it all. And nothing was the same after that. Oh, that we might shake ourselves this morning and ask, are we on a journey in darkness, missing all the best things? Well, if we are, then let's turn our lives around. Let's join the ranks of the thankful. Let's take a new step in the direction of God's Holy Spirit. For when God has shined the light of Christ on our lives, there is beauty worth observing everywhere. You need journey in darkness no longer. Give thanks to God for his unspeakable gift and see how much richer your life will be. And this morning we are going to give thanks. We're going to do it joyously. We're going to do it triumphantly. We're going to say it and we're going to do it. We've been talking about this Thanksgiving offer. It's an opportunity to say thanks and give thanks. It's a gift. Not one penny of this offering remains in this local church. All of it goes for others throughout the world. My prayer this morning, and I've been praying all week after that service last Sunday morning, let our offering be an adequate expression of our love for Christ and his work. Oh, I would challenge you this morning. If you haven't made that checkout yet, you received this envelope in your newsletter this week. If you forgot to bring it, there are additional envelopes just like it in the card rack there in front of you. We'd like you to use these envelopes. And I just pray that you are spirit-led, giving what God would have you give so that you can take part in this Thanksgiving, not only by saying, thank you, Lord, but by enacting the doing side of Thanksgiving as well. Our goal, $10,000. We've challenged every church family to give $100 if you possibly can. If you can't, give what you can. I've been so grateful for college students who couldn't be here this Sunday, who came by the office and left their offering, said, we want to be in on this. We can't give the $100, but here's what we can give, and we're going to give it. And I know much of it has been sacrificial. Oh, we're thankful for everybody who wants to have a part in the world outreach ministry of the Church of the Nazarene. And this is your opportunity to do so this morning. We'll ask our ushers to come now as we prepare to receive this offering. Everything that comes in the plates now will go to this offering. If you have a double check where you put tithe on one part of the check and the missionary offering on the other part, that's all right. If you put it in the other, they'll break it out of there. And if you put it in this, we'll take care of it. We'll just ask the ushers to come and you give as the Lord would lead you this morning. We want to challenge you, but we don't want to override the Holy Spirit. We want you to do what he wants you to do. All right, let's pray. Father, this morning we are a thankful people. We're thankful that you've given us an opportunity to be involved in the mission of the church around the world. And we want to give thanks right now, not just by saying, thank you, Lord. We do that, but we want to do something to prove our thanks as well. May we keep our days brighter. Journey in darkness no longer, through perpetual thanksgiving. Now bless this offering, Lord. It's from our hearts. Speed it around the world. In your name we pray. Amen.